That was a nice shot. Welcome. You're taking Dead Aim with Charlie Nance. Taking Dead Aim is sponsored by RBC Wealth Management. Now, here's the host of Taking Dead Aim, Charlie Nance.
Welcome back. Once again, we're Taking Dead Aim, presented by RBC Wealth Management. I'm Charlie Nance on Twitter, at CLT underscore golf guy. Look, is there anything that looks as spectacular on TV as the AT&T Pebble Beach Pro-Am when the weather is, as it is this week, you know, sunny and 70? It is just a big old bowl of wow. And Ron Green Jr. with the Global Golf Post and Charlotte Observer is there. We will check in with him momentarily. Also this week on the show, Pete Charleston is the president of Golf Logix, the premier app for on-course measurement. Most of you have it on your phone. What they have just unveiled to go with their app, I can't wait for him to tell you about. And as you know, I'm the parent of a junior golfer, and I am a passionate supporter of junior golf. Perhaps the most passionate proponent of the kids' game I know is Alan Wiggins, the owner and operator of the National Junior Golf Tour. They've got some exciting upcoming events, and I was fortunate to be able to spend some time with him and his team this week in studio. But we begin today with the life and times of Ron Green Jr.
For those of you that travel for business, and you think, you know what? I've made a couple of decent business trips this year. I want to chronicle for you what Ron Green Jr.'s business travel has been so far this golf season. He was at Kapalua, which is in a beautiful location on the tip of Maui. And then you were down in the Torrey Pines area near Catalina. And now you are on the Monterey Peninsula at Pebble Beach. And it's not just that you're at Pebble Beach. Your forecast is for nothing but sunshine and 70 degrees for the entire weekend. You are at Pebble Beach. Please defend that you have a rough life.
Wow. I mean, it took a good 8 minutes to get from my little hotel in Carmel over here to the park here at Pebble Beach, you know? I mean, and and I'm fighting a cold. You travel all around these places. I got a little cold, and I got to take a little shuttle ride over to Monterey Peninsula Country Club to watch some golf. So, it's a pretty good resume of travel so far. And be down in Los Angeles next week to watch the Genesis, and then home for a week, and then off to Mexico City. So it's kind of busy, but good places. I have not been to this tournament before. I've been out for three U.S. Opens at Pebble Beach, but I've not been to this tournament before, so I'm hopefully going to make it an annual occurrence going forward. And then next year, there's the added bonus that the U.S. Open is out here at Pebble Beach. So that's never a bad thing.
Ron, it's one of those places that when you have weather like you have right now, it's made for high-definition television. I mean, I was just glued watching the replay of round one and round two, just going, oh, my God, would you look at this? This is amazing. Does television do it justice, or is it even more breathtaking in person?
Well, I mean, the television does okay, but it's just no matter how many times you come here, if you go out on the golf course, particularly at Pebble Beach, and you walk around, you get down to the famous holes, 6, 7, 8, 9, all that. I mean, just the scale of it. I mean, there's the natural beauty of it, which, you know, matches about anywhere you want to go in the world. But then you throw the scale of it, and I never cease to be amazed. You know, you can just sort of stand there and keep looking at it. You never get tired of seeing it. It's just sort of awe-inspiring and beautiful and all those sorts of things. And then when you make it, you couldn't draw it up better weather-wise. I mean, hardly a breath of wind right now. It's supposed to cool off a little bit, but, I mean, given the reputation of this event for the weather and all that stuff, kind of blowing that one right up this week.
We'll get back to the AT&T Pebble Beach Pro-Am in just a second. Ron Green Jr. with the Global Golf Post and Charlotte Observer is our guest taking Dead Aim. We haven't talked for a couple of weeks, and there's been a couple of things that have come up and been big stories on the PGA Tour in the last 2 weeks that I wanted to sort of talk with you about. I want to go back to Torrey Pines and the way that tournament ended. And I think, let me check my watch. Yes, J.B. Holmes is still deciding in the 18th fairway what club to play. I know that slow play is a problem on the PGA Tour. It has been for a while. Oh, my God, Ron, that was ridiculous what was going on there.
Yeah, that took a while. I mean, that whole day took a while. There were a lot of factors that sort of played into it and made it, sort of stacked on top of each other. And then it came down to that. And, JB taking whatever 4 minutes and 10 seconds to hit that shot. Yeah, you can't keep going with that. And I'm sure there have been messages relayed and all that about what to do. I mean, it was a difficult situation. You know, you get, not to defend slow play, but you get on a golf course like Torrey Pines South Bowl when it's really firm and fast, and then the wind starts gusting all over the place. I mean, you know, there's the whole backstory of how CT Pan, I guess it was, made an eight on a par three and backed up three groups there, and that sort of set the chain in motion to turn a long day into an excruciatingly long day. But yeah, JB Holmes, you just have to, you know, make up your mind and go. That's just, you know, that's the classic example there. You know, I know guys sort of said the right things afterwards. They didn't mean to ice anybody or anything like that, but just, I mean, God, how'd you like, you know, I think we all play golf with people who don't realize how long they take sometimes. And, I think golf is best played quickly. I mean, not hurried, but quickly. And I think that just sort of brought the slow play issue right back into play. I mean, I talked to one of the tour officials about it, and he sort of hemmed and hawed, like, yeah, that was a, you know, not a great situation, but, you know, he's trying to decide what to do, and the tournament may depend on all that. I'm just glad it's finally over.
You know what? I know, but you know what? That doesn't wash with me, and I don't think it washes with a lot of golf fans. I know you want to try to make the right decision. You know what? Tom Brady would have liked to have had 4 minutes to stand at the line of scrimmage and try to figure out what he wanted to do, too. But that's not the way it works. And I can't figure out why you don't have Slugger White or one of these tour officials just have the stones one time to go, that's it. That's a penalty. You've got to be better. All you have to do is start hitting these guys where it hurts in the wallet with stroke penalties coming down the stretch, and it will stop. It will stop that moment.
Yeah, I get you there, but, you know, he had not even had a bad time, so he was not going to get penalized for that anyway.
He wasn't going to get a bad time anyway because he's in the middle of the 18th fairway and the group in front of him is already done, so it's not a matter of keeping them in sight.
Yeah, and, I mean, they're waiting anyway now. But, yeah, I mean, that's just make an example of it, that this we can't keep doing this. Now, he, Holmes in particular, tends to really get slow when he gets in contention later in rounds, and it sort of just grinds to this sort of long slog with him, just the way he is. And I think the more people, I don't know, maybe the more people keep talking about it, writing about it, maybe something gets done. I mean, there are inherent challenges to getting guys around golf tournaments quickly, because you have, so especially when you get to the really full field events, like 156 players, and you got them out there on Thursday and Friday, you can only go so fast. But there's no excuse for what for letting something go on like that.
I was reminded of something, and it's been several years ago. I want to say it was at TPC Sugarloaf in Atlanta with Sabatini and Ben Crane. And Sabatini had finally had enough. And the problem is Sabatini's not a good guy anyway and well-liked on tour. But Sabatini finally said enough, and he just left Ben Crane playing a hole. And I always thought that was going to be a catalyst, and it never turned into anything.
No, but it's something we remember. Yeah, it was not handled very well, but you understand the frustration when you get players of sort of opposite ends of the time clock thing. You could see how it sort of boils over there. I mean, it's, you know, we all know that the European Tour is going to play the shot clock masters or whatever they're calling it. I think in Austria this summer, where they're going to have shot clocks out on every hole and, you know, with every group and sort of monitoring the time, and, you know, when it's your turn to hit, all right, we're going to punch the button, and whatever, the first guy's got 50 seconds to hit, then the next guy's got 40 seconds to hit or something. It'd be interesting to see how that goes. I could never in a million years imagine a PGA Tour doing something like that. But I think, you know, there's something to be said if they want to be more public about slow play warnings and, you know, guys being on the clock and pushing it. And you're right. Once they put out a couple penalties, you know, they suddenly did it last year at the Zurich thing. You know, two guys, I'm drawing a blank.
Yeah,
on their
name too.
But they got dinged for it. And, you know, sort of out of the blue, and of all the people, was like, well, I wonder how that happened. But, yeah, I mean, it is a persistent problem.
Ron Green Jr. with the Global Golf Post and Charlotte Observer, our guest taking Dead Aim. You were not in Phoenix last week, but I'm always amused. This is a rite of passage every year. you get some cantankerous golf scribe or television personality that starts excoriating what goes on at the 16th and 17th holes at the Waste Management in Phoenix. Stop it already. I'm one of these people. I look at it that, you know, the tour can get to be a grind after a while, and all the events start to look the same. But, you know, last week you have the 16th, which is just a rowdy, raucous occasion. This week you have the celebrities at Pebble Beach. I don't want it every week, but one week out of the year, it's fine, right?
I guess so. I mean, I give Phoenix what it has. I personally, that's not one a tournament I go to. If I don't have, you know, if I have the choice, I'm going to pass on that. That's a little more than I want. I mean, I think it's almost about outgrown its charm. I think it's become so big and so overwhelming that, yeah, if you're a player, you have to go there embracing it, knowing what you're getting. But, you know, I know some players who live out there who don't play there because they just don't care for it. You know, it's not everybody's cup of tea, so to speak. I mean, it's you know, you've got to be willing to take it and deal with it. But, I mean, it's, you know, I've every year when we talk about Phoenix, I throw out that great line. Somebody said, one of the locals said, I love going to the golf tournament on Friday night. And that sort of summarizes what that place is about. And, you know, if you've never seen the 16th hole, I mean, it's a wonder. I mean, just the feeling, especially getting to walk down and stand inside that whole stadium thing. I mean, it's almost otherworldly. But, you know, I think it works there. Other places, you know, down at Honda, they've had a hole down there where they try to get right. Pretty rowdy and everything. And, you know, I might say don't encourage them.
Let's get back.
That makes me cantankerous.
You become a cantankerous old man, I'm going to start calling you Ron Green Jr. Huggin.
Well, being compared to John Huggins, that's okay.
Ron Green Jr. is our guest, taking Dead Aim. AT&T Pebble Beach Pro-Am is where you are out on the Monterey Bay Peninsula. I want to talk about some players that are out there, specifically some young players. I remember watching Bo Hostler and Aaron Wise 2 years ago as Oregon and Texas faced off in the NCAA championship. I saw Will Zalatoris play for Wake Forest this past fall. There are a lot of really, really good young players who are getting good early, and I think that that's great for the tour.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, those are names you're going to get more and more familiar with. I mean, if you followed them in college, you know who they are already, but I mean, there's such a – I mean, when you look from Jordan Spieth and Justin Thomas and all the really good young guys out there, John Rahm right now, and then you don't want to quite say it's another generation, that they're still sort of the same generation, but this is just so – there's so many good ones. I mean, a guy like Patrick Cantlay, who's maybe not the most familiar guy yet, but, I mean, as long as his health stays good, and there's no reason to think it won't. I mean, there's a guy who we're going to be talking about and writing about and watching for years, it looks like, because he's going to be in contention. It's just, I think what college golf has become in particular has really helped develop these guys and get them ready so that when they make the move out here, however they get here, whether it's web.com or earning enough money to earn their privileges, I think they're much more confident and comfortable. And they've been able to watch their contemporaries. I mean, Justin Thomas and those guys will talk about, well, I saw Jordan do this, and I played against him, and I know I can beat him. So if he can do it, why can't I? I think the leap is not as broad as it used to be because I think there's so much more seasoning to these young guys.
Yeah, Patrick Cantlay, all he does is, if he's able to manage his physical, his back condition, and whatnot, all he does is finish in the top 20 in every event that he enters.
Well, yeah, I mean,
that's all he does. I mean, he's incredible.
Well, that's a good thing.
Yes!
Yeah, am I going to finish 9th, 12th, or third this week?
No, that's what I'm telling you. I mean, this guy, you were talking about him being a name we're going to hear about. It's because that's all he does. He's on the leaderboard each and every week. Get you out of here on this. Some big names playing at AT&T, and for several years they got away from it. But, you know, Phil's back out there playing. John Rahm's out there playing. Dustin Johnson, who's won the event a couple of times. And a name, and I wanted to ask you about this because to the best of my memory, Has Rory played Pebble Beach before? Because I can never remember him doing it.
No, well, he played it during the U.S. Open, as he pointed out. He said, well, I've really only played two rounds at Pebble Beach in his only tournament here before. But no, he wanted to do this and do it with his dad. He had actually talked about it being his dad's 60th birthday present next year, but the schedule worked out. His dad's 59 now, so they're doing it this week, and they may keep doing it, and I think they're having a blast. Rory likes to start over there and play Abu Dhabi and Dubai, and usually this tournament has followed on the heels of that, which means he'd have to fly from Dubai all the way to the West Coast, which he doesn't want to do, but there's the way the schedule works now, there's a week off or a week in between, so he was able to play the Middle East, come to the States and sort of get set up here, and then get out here, and came out, and just loving it. I mean, played the first 3 days with his dad, and then paired with Phil and Jimmy Dunn from Seminole. I mean, I've been out walking with them. I mean, they're just having a blast. And, to see he and his dad like this, I mean, it's the kind of thing, I don't guess you could do it in any other sport, but the golf allows that. I mean, think about Rory and his dad playing a PGA Tour event together. I mean, that's just really, really cool. And, you know, Rory is taking an aggressive approach to his scheduling this year. He's wanting to play a little more. He said, I don't know that I've ever been, what I'd say, underprepared for Augusta, but I want to give myself every chance to be ready now. And I think that's what he's doing. I mean, he's playing here, and he's going to play L.A. He's going to play Valspar and Honda, Bay Hill. I mean, he's skipping Mexico City. So he's got a lot of tournament golf. And I just think this one finally fell in a spot where it works for him.
He's one of the best in the business. I'm sure we'll be checking in with him next week from the Genesis at Riviera and the return of Tiger Woods Part Deux this year from the Global Golf Post and Charlotte Observer Ron Green Jr. And up next, Pete Charleston is the president of Golf Logics. That is the premier on-course measurement app. And what he's got to tell you about, trust me, you do not want to miss. Taking Dead Aim, presented by RBC Wealth Management. We are Taking Dead Aim, presented by RBC Wealth Management. Pete Charleston is the president of Golf Logics, the premier app for on-course measurement. Chances are you either have it or have had it on your phone. Well, there's something new that you've got to hear about. Pete, Golf Logics was the first app that I was ever introduced to as far as getting distances from where I hit the ball to where it's going to the green on the golf course. I thought it was the most revolutionary thing I'd ever seen. I had it on my phone for a number of years. When did it come about? When did Golf Logics begin?
My partner and I started this way back in 1999, and we partnered with Garmin. They had one of their first handheld GPS devices called the eTrex, and we wrote all the golf software for it. So a long time ago.
How many courses initially did you have when you unveiled the product?
Well, zero. I mean, we literally started, we were selling direct to the golf course because actually the electronic measuring devices were illegal according to the rules of golf. And when the USGA and R&A changed that stance in 06, early 06, we went to retail. And at that point, we're like, oh boy, we have to map all these courses. And within a couple of years, we had, 35,000 courses mapped, and it was a crazy, crazy time.
I can't imagine the physical legwork of mapping out in those days all these golf courses. How many people were actually in your employ doing it?
Well, the reality is when we started doing this, we actually found a company that contracts to the U.S. government that had satellite imagery. And it was extremely accurate. It was not, at the time, Google wasn't super accurate. And we were able to map doing that. But we had 40 people on staff going full-time, just mapping golf courses around the world.
Now, I can imagine public courses and public access courses being the easiest to deal with. Were you having trouble, or did you have any trouble with private clubs?
No, not really, because their members wanted it. So, generally private clubs are pretty good about, giving their members, what they like. Now, obviously, we stayed away from courses like Augusta, where you probably couldn't use it anyway. So
Pete Charleston is the president of Golf Logics. He's our guest taking Dead Aim. Before we get to putt breaks, I want to talk a little bit more about the app itself. So it comes out, Golf Logics comes out. You've got tens of thousands of golf courses in a very short period of time that are mapped out. And whenever you have an app or something like this from a technological standpoint, constant reinvention and innovation is key. What were the things that were the first to be added based on the needs of your consumer?
Well, first of all, we were a retail device, and in 2008, we were having our best year. We were just absolutely killing it, but the economy started to change, and we realized that these first smartphones were coming out with GPS, and we just looked at ourselves like, boy, I know this is hard to do, but I really think that we ought to switch and go to a software-based system on the phones, and we made that risk, and it really paid off. So, you know, we've had over 4 million downloads. Since, you know, we launched in 2009 with our GPS app. And obviously we've got, you know, distance to the front, middle, and back of the green, distance to all the hazards on the course, distance to the pin. We keep track of your scores and stats, and we track the distances of all your clubs. So we've got all those features that have been out there up until now and what we launched at the PGA Show.
You mentioned the USGA, and you know, I remember when all of a sudden they started allowing it in amateur tournaments, you know, measuring devices and whatnot. Did that come before the app when you were still a device, or did that come after the app?
Before, well before, and that was how we determined to go at retail. Yeah, in January of 2006 is when they changed their stance and allowed that local rule that allows, you know, any tournament to say, you know, hey, yep, local rule today, you can use, you know, GPS devices or lasers or apps or what have you.
Well, that's what I was going to ask, because, you know, the laser, the handheld laser is ubiquitous a lot of the times. And my son's a junior golfer, and I see that more than anything else. And a lot of times I see rules about having phones out. And so I was wondering if there was a codicil in the USGA ruling that you had to go through or go around as far as, you know, people using their phones as their measuring device, and that was okay.
No, the guideline that the USGA has, and it goes with the lasers as well, you cannot have slope and you cannot have weather. And, you know, we do not offer either one of those in our product.
Pete Charleston is the president of Golf Logics. He's our guest taking Dead Aim. Golf Logics is the premier iOS and Android app for on-course measuring when you're playing the game. And I got a memo sent to me a couple of weeks ago. And just when I thought that I couldn't be more amazed or impressed by technology, and I don't know why no one thought of this sooner. Obviously, Pete, you're a bigger genius than everyone else. You have now introduced putt breaks. Diagrams of greens, the actual mapping of the greens is now integrated into the app. A big bowl of wow on this.
It is absolutely crazy. We saw this a couple of years ago as the PGA Tour players more and more start to use the green contour books to confirm their putt reads, you know, on the course. And we thought, well, gosh, why can't we do this for the amateur? I mean, what an incredible help it gives any level of handicap. And so, you know, over the last couple of years, we went to work, and finally we were able to launch, you know, at the PGA Show a few weeks ago in Orlando.
Now, Pete, measuring distances on a golf course from satellites up above, that's one thing. I'm dying to know, how were you able to measure contour and get, you know, topographical information on a green? Were you able to do that with satellites? Is that possible, or do you have to have boots on the ground for this?
Absolutely no satellites. Yeah, this is accurate to about 3 centimeters. And so you can imagine, you know, GPS is accurate to plus or minus 2-3 yards. Well, that's not going to work on the green.
Right.
You're going to have a vastly different putt. So, no, it is all 3D laser scans and, you know, incredible accurate data for every green on every golf course. So we have a tremendous amount of people working on it all day, every day. We're investing millions, and we're going as fast as we can. We've got about 5,000 courses mapped, and we hope to have another 5,000 courses done by the end of the year, all in the U.S.
How long does it take for your team to go into a golf course and to, from start to finish, we arrive at the golf course, we start measuring the greens and whatever. From the moment they start until it's available on the app, what is that time?
From start to finish with to get a course kind of through our entire system, and it doesn't end when we just get the data. We actually have to post-process it, and there is a lot of there's subjectivity involved with each one of our QA people that have to look at every green and make sure that it all looks right. It definitely, you know, at least 24 hours per course that we produce.
That's so stunning turnaround. That is, I was expecting you to tell me a week or two. That is stunning turnaround.
No, as I said, we are investing heavily in this. We are the only company, fortunately, to have this in any kind of a grand consumer scale, and we want to make sure that, you know, we have all the courses for the consumers as they request them.
Pete Charleston is president of Golf Logix. He's our guest taking Dead Aim, talking about Putt Breaks, which is the new in-app application of Golf Logix. And you've got to go online and look at it. It's amazing. Go to Golf Logix, that's with an X.com, and check it out. You really won't believe it. Did you take a cheat in any way? In other words, did you go to some of these PGA caddies that have been on tour for 100 million years and may have their books, you know, for whatever? Did you look at their stuff, or are you taking no one's word for granted and you're doing this yourself?
Oh, we definitely we got a hold of a couple books just to kind of see what it was and what it did. And you know, we it's basically the same exact process in order to get this data. And, you know, once you have it and you load it in there and you take a look at it at specifically your home course, it literally blows your mind. If you look at the data on a course that you know, on a green that you know, and you're like, okay, that cup's here, ball's here. Oh my God, that's exactly what it does. Wow.
Pete, are you doing this by request, or are you just basically going back in all the courses that you had lasered out for the initial app for Golf Logix? Are you now going back and just starting at course one and working your way through the list as far as mapping the greens?
We're doing everything on request now. And the way it falls in the queue is the more requests we have, the quicker that course gets mapped. So any of your listeners that want putt breaks of their course, they need to download the Golf Logix app from the Apple App Store or the Android store. And if they go to their course, click on it, and they'll see a button that says Request Putt Breaks.
Pete, it's been a while since I've done this, so I'm a little fuzzy on my memory of it. What are the costs? I know there's like annual subscriptions, or at least there was when I had Golf Logix. I believe it was an annual subscription on my phone. Is that still the way it works?
Exactly. So we allow everybody to download our app for free. We give you a front, middle, and back, or we give you the center of the green for free. We give you a yardage book quality image of the hole, and then we allow you to track all of your scores and stats. But if you do want access to putt breaks, it's $49.99 a year, and that gives you full access to any course that we have in the U.S.
Now, does that $49.99 a year, does that also include the basic Golf Logix, front, middle, and back, and mapping of the hole? Or is that just the green for putt breaks?
That covers everything. So that gets you all of our features. And one of the things that's very cool in our approach mode, we allow you to, let's say you're 175 yards out, and you're able to look at the green and see what happens on that green. Let's say the pin is back left. You're actually able to see with the Golf Logix approach view within putt breaks, you know, you see what happens behind that pin. And then we have, as part of our premium features, you're actually allowed to put a target on the green. So you may want to land it a little shorter, knowing that you can't be long or long left.
And so then it'll give you the distance to the actual target you want.
Correct, which is a lot different than shooting the pin with your laser. So you want to know the distance to the pin with your laser or your GPS device, which is great. But the reality is, if that pin is somewhere where you can't afford to be long, that's really not your landing distance. You want to know, boy, I want to land that thing, you know, at least 10 yards short, because that thing's going to roll out. So it's really incredible data.
This is stunning to me. How are you able to keep this secret? Have you filed every patent in the world to keep people away from copying what you're doing?
You know, it's one of those things where you have to be really inventive and really aggressive. And, you know, this process of learning how to to not only map the courses and to put the data in a readable format, but to also have the delivery mechanism as GolfLogix does with over 4 million members. It's really, really difficult. Now, that being said, we're going to have people chasing us. There's no question.
Wow, fantastic. The product is called Putt Breaks. It is an in feature to the app of GolfLogix. Is that the best way to state it?
Exactly. So once you show up at a course, you open GolfLogix, it automatically knows what course you're at. And as you're walking or driving down the first fairway, it's going to pop up and show you approach view. And it'll give you a 7-day free trial for any new member that downloads GolfLogix to our Putt Breaks features. And as you're walking or driving down the fairway, you'll see that approach view that I told you about earlier. And then as you walk or drive towards the green, it'll automatically pop up the green, and you place the cup and place the ball. It rotates your view, and then it actually gives you the exact putt read behind, as if you're standing behind your ball. You literally, with 100% certainty, you're going to know the putt's going left, it's going right, it's going uphill or downhill. And our goal is to really help eliminate the three putt.
Kids, this will be the most addictive thing you've ever done. You download the free trial. I promise you, it'll be the best $50 you will ever have invested in your game. Again, if you want to check out what it looks like, go online to GolfLogix.com, and then the app is available, has been forever. It is the premier golf app, GolfLogix, in both Android and iOS. Pete Charleston, president of GolfLogix, thank you so much, man.
Oh, thank you. And I want to make sure we get you hooked up with our Putt Breaks subscription so you can get out there and try it when you guys get some good weather.
He's the president of GolfLogix, the premier app for on-course measurement. That is Pete Charleston. And when we return, in my opinion, the most passionate man about junior golf in the greater Charlotte area, Alan Wiggins, owner and operator of the National Junior Golf Tour, takes Dead Aim, presented by RBC Wealth Management. We're taking Dead Aim, presented by RBC Wealth Management. Alan Wiggins is the owner and operator of the National Junior Golf Tour based here in Charlotte. There's not a more passionate ally that junior golf has, trust me. For the last couple of years, he's been staging a brave fight with cancer, and his brother and sister-in-law, Terry and Sylva Wiggins, have been running things. Well, Alan is back up and running at near full strength, and he's got some really great things going on with his tour and upcoming, and we had the chance to catch up earlier this week. All right, the National Junior Golf Tour, it's been around, you say, 16 years?
16 years, yes.
How did it get started?
Well, it got started with my son, Victor, who got interested in junior golf through me and his grandpa. And I started looking into junior tournaments, how getting him up to the next level would be and how would he get to play tournaments. Really just couldn't find anything for his age. He was like 7-8 years old then. And so I finally met with this guy up in Winston-Salem. He'd been running this little junior tour. He'd done it as a college project that he had to do. And he started up that way. His name's Aubrey Linville. And I said, Aubrey, you need to come down here to Charlotte area and everything and start one. Well, we went up there to talk about it. Next thing I knew, I'd bought the company before I come back home that day.
So. Somebody used to go hire that guy.
Yeah.
All right, and as the tour's progressed, one of the things that I've enjoyed as the parent of a junior golfer and playing in your series over a couple of years is you go to some varied courses. You don't necessarily stay just in the Charlotte area. For the most part, you do in and around the Charlotte area. But I've always enjoyed you. This is, as far as I know, this is the only series, only junior series, that has access to the resort course at Rock Barn.
That's correct, yes.
And we're down there at least once a year for sure for a two-day tournament, and that's incredible.
Yeah, probably down there two times a year, I'm sorry. But Rock Barn's been very, very good for us up there, and as busy as they are, they still allow juniors to come up there, and that's hats off to them for letting us come up there.
Is that something that you've noticed that has progressed through 16 years, that more and more courses and clubs and whatnot are becoming more open to passing the game on and keeping things open to junior golf? Or, you know, is that something you still struggle with?
I still struggle with that. That's our number one problem here in Charlotte. I can't hardly find a golf course here in Charlotte to let us play. We play at Old Sycamore, and as busy as that golf course is, they still find room to let us come out there. And we're not asking to play free on the golf course. We want the golf course to make revenue, and we show them ways that they can make revenue and supply. So if they give me a few minutes to sit down with them and talk to them, I can show them where they can make good revenue and plus doing something good for junior golf.
Alan Wiggins and Company. We'll get to the and Company a little bit later here from the National Junior Golf Tour is our guest taking Dead Aim. We talked about some of the places you go to play. As this is airing, we're starting the next week and talk about the weekend of February 17th and 18th, TPC Myrtle Beach.
Yeah, yeah. We Jonathan, which you meet a little bit later, got us that course down there. Victor was playing at it in a little pro event, and Jonathan come up there and said, hey, they said we could have a junior tournament here. So I'm very pleased that we get to go down and play TPC Myrtle Beach. Not many juniors get that opportunity to go down and play.
No, that's a fantastic golf course. Yes. I know in the past, at least once, maybe twice a year, you conduct a tournament at the Hackler course right down there at Coastal.
Yeah. Every year at the end of a year on Labor Day weekend, all of our current winners, if you'd won a trophy or anything, you get to come down and play in our national championship at Myrtle Beach. And we've had the last couple of years at Coastal Carolina Golf Course down there, which has always been great. That is a great tournament for us.
Jumping back a second, you had mentioned that originally when you purchased the company, it had been someone's college project, and that name stuck in my head, the word, or not the name, the word, college. One of the things that I enjoy that I think you do is your college prep tournament. Sort of explain that, I mean, last weekend there was just a single-day tournament, and those are great, but I think this next weekend is the TPC. Is that a college prep tournament?
Yes and no.
Okay.
So we're building it. We started college prep series as years, well, about 10 years ago. We had good golfers. They was coming up through us, and the golfers kept getting better and better and better. So we needed to have another little avenue where we could take them good golfers and give them more experience and more like a college atmosphere type golf. So we started setting the golf courses up a little bit harder, yardage a little bit longer in that type series. And that kind of started there, and it's been running good ever since then. It kind of died off for a little bit here, but we're getting ready to get it back up and going and everything. But yeah, the college prep series has been great.
And the difference is that the pins are a little harder. You set things up a little bit more difficult, and the tournaments are 2-day tournaments.
Right. Yeah. All tournaments are 2-day tournaments. And like I said, the pins are. We'll make 6 of them very hard, and then we'll do another 6 medium. The other 6, I don't know. I don't want to say easy, but we set it up pretty tough. So.
Alan Wiggins with the National Junior Golf Tour is our guest taking Dead Aim. Also, his son Victor is with us, and Jonathan Inman. Jonathan, you worked as a pro down at Kiawa Island for a few years?
That is correct.
Now, what is it you're going to be doing here with the golf tour?
Be a tournament director, so assisting in running tournaments with the junior tour.
So you're going to just drive Alan's golf cart? Is that how that works?
Absolutely.
Absolutely. Alan Wiggins and company, our guest, National Junior Golf Tour, taking Dead Aim. So let's talk about some of the other things you have coming up.
A lot of nice courses coming up. You know, I've been fighting cancer for the last 3 years, and so Terry and Silva's been kind of running this show for me, and I do appreciate them for everything that they've done. But I'm ready to get back out there again.
You look great. In fact, you looked so good this last weekend that I almost didn't recognize you when you drove up, and I went, son of a gun, he looks like he's put on weight. He's got good color to him. This Alan?
Yeah, I have put on some weight and kind of got some energy back. I'm still fighting, but got some energy back, and I'm ready to get back out there and do what I love, and that's this passion for junior golf. And, you know, we over the last 16 years, we've helped over 800 kids get scholarships in the colleges.
I wanted to ask you about that. There's a lot of misnomers and a lot of things out there as far as paths to getting college scholarships.
Right.
You have some ways of thinking that if you don't play AJGA events, if you don't play Hurricane Tour events that are, you know, $300, $400 a pop plus travel expenses, that you have no chance in it. Yet, when I talk to college coaches, 99% of them say, just get out there and play.
That's right.
Go play golf. Go play tournaments. And so I'm of a mind, and it's because mostly I can't afford $300 to $400 a week tournaments, that, you know, if I can get my son playing in 2 or 3 tournaments for the cost of one of those, that's just as good, if not better, right?
Just as good. Victor didn't even played one AJGA event that was close to our home. That's the only thing he played. He was recruited by every college in the country, you might as well say. We got several players that had done that. Caitlin Danbrow, she's on the LPGA tour. She never played AJGA events. If you want to play college golf, there's a college out there for you. And I always tell my guy, I had one the other day asked me this past weekend, what do I need to do to get recruited or do recruited. And I kind of told him, I said, give me your school that you would like to go to, your number one school you'd like to go to right now. Where would it be? And he said Michigan, which kind of threw me off a little bit. And I said, well, I wasn't expecting Michigan. But I told him, go to their website, pull up their golfers, and see what their senior golfers are shooting right now. And then see how many freshmen are going to be, is on that team, and when it's going to go through and they graduate, how many you get. That's going to give you an idea what them guys are shooting that the coach is looking for. He's going to be looking for that or better. You sure ain't going to go the other way. That or better to get in college. And then it's all about PRing yourself. You got to PR yourself and get out there and do it. You know, these coaches cannot contact you directly, but you can call them anytime.
I was just about to say that the rule is they can't touch you. And I know for a fact that they cannot have any contact with you from a recruiting basis until after you complete your sophomore year in high school. Right. And even then, it's kind of a tricky game. But you can reach out to them at any time. And if there's any coaches of any sport in college that are the most approachable, it's college golf coaches.
Right, sure is. They're just a great bunch of guys, you know, and it's almost like a family out there amongst them. I mean, it is really awesome to see these coaches, the way they help and support golf, and not only college golf, but junior golf as well, even up to the pros. They got a lot of kids that went to pros, and them coaches, they come a lifetime father almost to these guys. And so I really give them hats off to everything that they do.
Well, and I know you've got, you know, guys that you talk about relationships. Andrew DiBattista is the head coach at North Carolina. He was Andrew Sapp's assistant, who's now at East Carolina. Right. And so all these guys, they're all interrelated, and they all look out for each other. Like, if they don't have any spots available, but they know you're looking, they'll say, hey, have you seen this kid? Get in touch with this guy. So they're all out there. Everybody's trying to help one another.
They are. They sure are. And that's just a good thing for golf. And if the kids would just follow that program and just, you know, PR. They got to market themselves. They got to PR themselves and call the golf coaches and say, hey, look, this kid want to go to Michigan. I said, well, if you want to go to Michigan, you need to play a couple of tournaments up in Michigan. Get up there, play a couple of tournaments, let the golf coach know you're going to be in that area, and he may come out and take a look at you. You know, he's going to see you're interested that much to come up to Michigan and play in a couple of tournaments. Now, you don't need to be chasing a tournament all the way out to Texas or any place like that. These kids need to play where they want to go to school at, and that's the bottom line.
You mentioned showing interest, and every one of them that I talked to, the college coaches, they all mentioned that we're looking for people who are interested in being a part of our program. And again, reach out to them. And the other thing that I hear over and over again, and it's a cliche, but I like it. Guys, gals, if you score low on the golf course and you score high in the classroom, they will find you.
They will find you.
Absolutely. Alan Williams with the National Junior Golf Tour and his coterie is with us here taking Dead Aim. Let's talk at some of the tournaments we have coming up. We mentioned TPC Myrtle Beach.
And that's a great time for these kids to get down there. We still have a lot of openings because we kind of done this tournament pretty quickly and got it on the schedule. High school golf's getting ready to start, guys. I mean, you're probably going to be starting next week.
Tryouts start. I know my son goes to a school in Union County. Tryouts actually start a couple of days before TPC Myrtle Beach and finish up after TPC Myrtle Beach. Yeah. So, you know, if everybody's on that same schedule.
Man, get down here and play. Get you some tournament experience. You would be surprised at how well that's going to do and impress your coach when you come up to play.
Well, I also recommend playing tournaments during golf season.
Yes,
because,
definitely.
You know, the golf season in high school is for the most part, 9-hole events that take place on Tuesdays or Wednesdays until you get to regionals and state. And like you said, you've got some great golf courses coming up, not only TPC Myrtle Beach, but at the end of the month going down to Edgewater,
right,
which is, if you haven't played it, in my opinion, one of the best-kept secrets
it
in
is.
Terms of golf in the Charlotte area.
It is a great golf course down there. I hadn't been down there in the last year or so, but it is a great golf course, and they've always treated us very well down there. And we're going to have tournaments coming up. We're going to Jonathan's got a lot of connections out there and place with the kids. I think he just said he had what at the Ocean Course. Not the Ocean Course, but at Kiawa, you had what course were you going to?
Cacique.
Really?
So
that's a magic word, boys and girls. That's a very private course in Kiowa.
Yes, sure is.
Very nice.
Don't know about that course. So, and also going to have Palisades coming up real soon here. And we're working on Carmel Country Club. They have agreed. We just got to get some dates. And we got to get the date up probably this fall for the Dunes and Beach Club, which were coming up, and that's an awesome golf course.
It's a fantastic, historic golf course down in Myrtle Beach. When you get on that golf course, you see oak trees that they have on that golf course and banyan trees that they have on that golf course, and you sit there and go, how long has this been here? I mean, it's just amazing.
It is so, so great down there, and everybody is so nice towards down there. Me and Victor and Jonathan was playing it just a couple of weeks ago, and we've seen two bald eagles out there just setting up in a tree in the wild, you know, and that was kind of on my bucket list. I always wanted to see a bald eagle in the wild, and that was just so awesome for me to see them two bald eagles setting up there.
The website is nationaljuniorgolftour.com. Again, nationaljuniorgolftour.com. It's a very simple website to sign up, join, go to events. It's a fantastic series. Like I said, my son and I have been involved with it for the last 2 or 3 years. Can't recommend it high enough. Jonathan, Victor, Allen, thank you so much.
All right, thank you very much.
You're very welcome.
Owner and operator of the National Junior Golf Tour, golf does not have a better friend, junior golf especially, than Allen Wiggins. I'd also like to thank Pete Charleston, the president of Golf Logics, the premier app for on-course management, and Ron Green Jr. of the Global Golf Post and Charlotte Observer for their time this week. A reminder, should you just be catching the last little bit of the show and wonder what all we've covered today, no worries. Just subscribe to the Taking Dead Aim podcast at Apple Podcast, and it will automatically download to the device of your choice most weeks, just minutes after this terrestrial radio version of the show finishes airing. Additionally, a great source of constant golf updates is our Facebook page. Be sure to like us on Facebook. Just search Taking Dead Aim. Weatherwise, another complete washout here in the Charlotte area. My game is going to pot. We got to do something about this. However, Pebble Beach is on TV, and it is a fantastic watch. And if you do somehow make it out of town and you're able to tee it up and let this game continue to haunt your soul and break your heart, remember to exhale, swing, pose, and keep it in the short grass. I'm Charlie Nance on Twitter at @CLT_golf guy, and I'll see you right here next week taking Dead Aim, presented by RBC Wealth Management.